Well, good evening, everyone. Nice afternoon. I know I was watching the snow come down. I was getting ready, nice and straight. I was kind of maybe wishing a little bit for it to start slanting a little bit, but anyways, I put the fans outside, but it didn't do enough. Anyways, good to see everybody out this evening, and let's just turn to the word, to the Lord, and just ask Him for help here. God and Father, we just again thank You for this privilege we have of gathering together. And as we open up Your word and consider what You have to say to us from it, pray that You would help me as I speak, and just that You would strengthen me and that Your Spirit would guide and direct my thoughts, keep them on what You would have us to speak about. Pray that You would just help us all to come away with a greater appreciation of You, a greater desire to know You. And we just thank You for the privilege we have of doing so, and that's through the finished work of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and just the peace that we have and our sins forgiven and being able to come before You, sinners saved by grace. We just thank You for this marvelous grace that we've just sung about in Your greatness, in Your majesty, and Your glory. Just pray Your blessing upon this time together now in Your name. Amen. Okay, so my message tonight was kind of influenced by a devotional email that I read just recently. Sometimes when we're speaking or thinking about what God wants to want you to speak about, you know, you're kind of searching for things and ideas, and sometimes a certain topic will come to mind, and this one is one that I've, you know, struggled with for a long time, just understanding it and kind of putting it into practice. And it's the whole idea of getting alone with God or meditating, spending time with God. So that's what my topic is this evening, just to speak about that idea. And I thought, you know, this isn't a New Year's message or anything like that, but I thought with the idea of the New Year coming and just, you know, things that we're wanting to put into practice in our lives, this idea of taking time alone with God and just really getting to know Him and letting Him reveal Himself to us. What better way to start our year than to commit to having that as a part of our lives? So with that in mind, that's kind of the idea what we're going to be thinking about tonight. And so I'll just open with some thoughts as a way of introduction. So one of the quotes that I read in the email was by a famous mathematician by the name of Blaise Pascal, who some of you might be familiar with. And he claimed the following, that all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of rang true, it struck a chord with me to think about how hard it is sometimes in the busyness of life and the distractions that come at us, especially in our generation nowadays with all of the things that we see bombarding us. It's how hard it is to just sit alone and focus and just even just have alone time. We don't even know what to do with it. We're constantly bombarded with those types of things. And, you know, we hate the idea of being bored. You know, we always have to find ourselves occupied with something, whether it's, you know, our phones or video games or the television, a book, your work, your family, whatever it may be. We've always got something else to do. We have a moment where we're sitting still where we don't like that feeling. You know, you always feel like you have to be doing something. You have to be occupying yourself with something. And when we have a time of quiet, and we think we've got to do something while we're fumbling for our phones and looking for, you know, there must be a game to play, or it must be an email to check, or it must be a Facebook post to update, or whatever it is. There's always something to keep us occupied. And then, especially, like I said, in our day and age, there's just more and more interruptions and distractions that come at us and focus on that distract us. So, you know, it's been reported that boredom actually, in this day and age, terrifies people. People, the idea of being left alone in their thoughts when they're driving in their cars or in the cottage, going to the cottage, a quiet evening at home, anything like that, it just scares them. People have the idea that, you know, something is bothering them. They just feel distressed or uptight whenever they're alone. They have this feeling of just they don't know what to do with themselves. And, you know, we can relate to that. I know I can sometimes. And in our society, you know, it's considered kind of almost an evil to be bored. It's almost like bad if you're bored. Well, you got to fill it with something. You got to put something in your mind and do something to occupy yourself and be busy with something. And we seem to believe that it means that maybe when you get to that point, if you're bored, that something's wrong. Something's missing. Everything's blah in your life, and you need to fight off that feeling and again fill it with some activity to amuse you or to entertain you. flip on the TV again, or we turn to your phone or the computer, switch on the radio, put on your headphones. And of course, you know, when we think about the idea of amusement and entertainment, we're familiar with what those words mean, but I'll kind of reiterate it. The word amuse is a combination of two particles, meaning first meaning a, which is not, and muse means think. So amusement is something that allows us to escape thinking about things. And then the cousin of the word is to entertain, and that comes from the French word entretenir, which is a composite of two words, one meaning to hold and in between. So the literal idea meaning that we're held between two states. So we have that idea of just being distracted from thought, and we're in between states. We're not really doing anything. If you want to look at someone who's being entertained, just wives, look at your husbands watching the hockey game. That's that kind of look. Mouth hanging open, maybe a slight bit of drool on the side. You know, that's a kind of an idea of you're switched off. You're just being entertained, your mind has become numb. Psychiatrists report that an increasing number of people these days complain that they can't quiet their minds. They don't even know how to anymore. Researchers at Virginia and Harvard recently did a study in which they asked participants to sit quietly by themselves in a plain room with no phones, no reading or writing materials, and just think for 6 to 15 uninterrupted minutes. They concluded that 50% found it unpleasant, 57% found it hard to concentrate, and 87% said their minds wandered. Then the researchers turned to the question of what people would do to avoid having to think by themselves. And again, they put subjects in a room and asked them to think. This time, they left them a set of electrodes capable of ministering a small but painful shock. To their amazement, they discovered that 2/3 of the male subjects and 1/4 of the women opted to use the electrodes on themselves, often repeatedly, to escape the sensation of being understimulated. The researcher Aaron Westgate summed up their experience by saying this: "I think we just vastly underestimated both how hard it is to purposely engage in pleasant thought and how strongly we desire external stimulation from the world around us, even when that stimulation is actively unpleasant." Quite a thing, you know, you'd be willing to undergo punishment almost to not be bored. And why should that be? Isn't boredom a natural part of life? Is it realistic to expect that every moment of our lives should be stimulated? Would it even be healthy if it was? Well, no matter how hard we try to avoid it, a period of reduced activity when we can set aside everything is often what we need the most, isn't it? We need to stop and think. Those are the times when we make our decisions, when we have to think about our options, make plans, determine risks and rewards, place value or meaning on the things that we're deciding about. In short, it's the best time that we have to take mental charge of our lives when we have those quiet times. Today, though, many of us, myself included, are missing times of meaningful thinking, and most of us aren't willing to accept the fact that those times of important reflection were often bombarded and distracted, at least initially, by those feelings of anxiety or boredom. We feel them coming on. We don't want to admit that. We're kind of getting panicky. Have some alone time. We get panicky, flip something else on. We just don't want to sit still. Just read a verse in the book of Job, chapter 37. I'll just read it quickly. You don't have to turn to it. Job chapter 37, verse 14. With this idea in mind. "Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." We just aren't able to sit still. And according to God's word, this idea of solitude, getting alone with God, is a valuable practice. Alone time with God allows us to examine our lives and allows God to examine us. It can be a time of knowing God more deeply, getting to know him better, a time of strengthening, a time of refreshment, a time of sharing our deepest concerns with God, and a time of simply being with the one who formed us and loves us beyond our understanding. It's really a rich and beneficial time for us. These, are not things that are going to maybe, things that we've heard before, but I mean, I could be reminded of this over and over again and still, and it just rings true to me every time. Another benefit is it allows us to refocus ourselves on what's really important. We get so busy with our lives, all the distractions, all the things that occupy our time, and need to sometimes just come away and spend time with away from others, away from our distractions, away from our cell phones, away from the daily grind, and just spend time with the Lord. We don't want the worries of this life, as it says in Mark 4:19, to choke out the word. We want to spend time with Jesus like Mary of Bethany, sit at his feet hearing his word, like it says in Luke 10:39. As I said, the value certainly supports the idea of solitude. It says in Psalm 46, verse 10, a familiar verse, "Be still and know that I am God." And it's much easier to be still when we're alone, not with all our kids around or our workmates. We need to be alone in order to be still. Lamentations 3, verse 25 to 28 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him." There are many examples of this idea of practicing solitude in the Bible. For instance, Moses met regularly with the Lord at the tabernacle. See examples of that in Exodus, also with the burning bush. You know, God spoke with Elijah and Jacob while they were alone. Just read the Psalms and you see how David obviously spent lots of time alone with God. He had a real close relationship with God. You can see his familiarity with him. But our best example of this, and one that we need to follow, is the example of the Lord Jesus, who often, as it says in Luke 5:16, who often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus, God's very own son, spent time alone with his father. We see him seeking out solitude after performing miracles, times of grief, before choosing his apostles in his distress in Gethsemane, and other times. It was a consistent practice in Jesus' life. And now every believer needs a quiet time with the Lord. If Jesus himself needed it, of course, how much more do we? Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray," Matthew 26:36. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed, Mark 1:35. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, again, Luke 5:16. So we see a perfect example of the Lord Jesus taking time from the busyness. He was a busy man when he was on this earth. People always demanding his attention, and he took time, the very Son of God took time to be alone with his Father. Amazing. And all relationships take time. A relationship with God is no different than any other relationships. I mean, it's different in that we're having a relationship with God, but the same rules apply as in other relationships. And the Bible is filled with comparisons of relationships and understanding how our relationship with God. And one is the example of Christ as the bridegroom and us being the bride. And in an example of a marriage where two people are joined together, and there's that intimacy with two people being joined together as one. And those two, that involves, you know, not like, you know, you're not going to build a great marriage by spending time with a bunch of people all the time. To get to know your wife or your husband, you spend time alone together and you get to know each other. And that's a picture of the relationship there. Another is the idea of a father and child. You know, a good family relationship, the parent spends time with their child. You don't have a good relationship with your child if you never see them, you never spend any time with them. So the idea there is just two practical examples of marriage and just family and spending time together and getting to know the ones that you love and spending time with them is how that opportunity develops. And the same idea applies with God. To spend time with him, you know, we have to draw close to him and know him in a different way than we do in a group setting. Coming out to church on Sunday is great. We can be fed from the pulpit or whatever, but we're not going to grow spiritually if we're not spending time alone with God and letting him speak to us and us digging in. He desires alone time with us. He created us to have a personal relationship with him. He didn't create us to be just gathered together like this, and that's it. That's all he wanted. He wants to have a relationship with you personally. He died for you personally. He wants to develop that relationship with you personally. And he invites us to come and know him. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I'll read that verse quickly here. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God desires us to come together and commune with him and talk with him, understand our lives with him. And when we desire to know God intimately, we will seek him and we will spend time with him and we'll hunger and thirst for righteousness and we will be filled, as it says in Matthew 5, verse 6. So is it important to spend time with God on a daily basis? Of course it is. Why? Well, Paul clearly spells it out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, if you want to flip over to that passage. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the experience of having God's light shine in our hearts comes in our time spent in the presence of God. Of course, the light comes only from knowing God through Christ, when we have a relationship with him as our Savior. And the treasure of the Holy Spirit given to us as Christians, we can develop that. He enlightens us and shines in our hearts, and we need to believe and have faith in that and act upon it. Someone once said, the gospel brings man to God, but devotions keep him close to God. James wrote, in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So James is telling us that the children of God, as children of God, we should seek a closer relationship with him when we are. And we're supposed to draw near to him and to understand him more and to obey his commands and to hold on to his promises. And that's the desire of our hearts, and he'll draw nigh to us. He's going to answer us when we dig in and search for him. And the opposite is, if impure and double-minded man, as it says in the verse, will have no such yearning in their hearts. If you're not, you should have a desire for these things. If you don't, you need to ask some questions. Why don't I want to learn more about God? Why don't I want to spend time with him? Meditating on God's word is to the soul what having a shower is to our bodies. Cleansing of the mind, will, and emotions, it's an important part of sanctification and being changed and being set apart for service to God. We need to spend time with him. It says in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can't know the truth if we're not learning about it, reading God's word, spending time with it each day. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John chapter 15, verse 3. We need that cleansing power of God's word in our lives each and every day. Apostle James declared, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. We want to just have that a part of our lives, build it right into us, engrafted right into our lives, God's word. Now, there's a host of benefits, so many awesome rewards that we can reap from meditating on God's word. And some of them are found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, a very familiar passage. And when the children of Israel are coming into the promised land and Joshua is given the instruction, he's going to take over, he's going to lead. And we read this verse, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The very first instruction he gives to Joshua as a leader of the Israel nations is to spend time in God's word and allow that to lead you and guide you in your life. Obviously, some of the different benefits, I'll just go there, that are spelled out in that verse are, one is to have success. God uses the word success not as in success, you're going to be a successful person, you're going to make lots of money, and you're going to be famous, and all those types of empty things. This is success as in he will give you the rewards that he will give you if you walk in obedience to his ways and meditate on his word day and night. You will grow in your walk with him. David contrasts that the destructive results of not following God and following the wrong ideas of man with the prosperity that comes from meditating God's word and obeying it. And he says, in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, very familiar verses again. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the water, by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The godly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. We also are promised wisdom, for God is infinite in wisdom. And those, when we engraft his words, when we're building God's word into our lives, into our his words and thoughts into our hearts and minds, God will share his wisdom, impart his wisdom to us. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The word dwell means to live in us and become a part of our inward being. It's actually active and ongoing. And as you hide God's word in your heart and meditate on it, you will learn and understand God's ways. It also helps to build our faith. Scripture states that without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But how do we get faith? It comes through hearing God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we memorize and meditate and spend time in God's word, our faith is strengthened and built up, and we begin to know more and see God's truth more, and we grow in our faith towards him. We also are promised to have fellowship with God through meditating in his word. It says, after delivering to the disciples the commandments he received from his Father, Jesus stated in John chapter 14, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And as you learn the commands of Christ, and as we grow in our relationship with him, the Lord makes himself known to you more and more, and you know him more, and you understand him more, and you just have a greater appreciation of him, of who he is and all that he's done for us. Finally, we have that great promise of victory over sin. We know that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and when it's used correctly, we can use it to overcome temptation and the attacks of Satan. Jesus demonstrated this in the wilderness when he used scripture to overcome temptation from Satan over and over again. Three times he said, "It is written," referring to passages of scripture that he had memorized, and used God's word against the attacks of the devil. When we make that a part of our lives, we can use it against the attacks of the devil. David affirmed the relationship between knowing God's word and conquering sin when he wrote, "Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. So, we've talked a little bit about this idea of being distracted and how we're constantly bombarded. Now we've talked a little bit about the benefits of getting alone with God and spending time with him. So how do we put it into practice? What are some practical ways, some examples of how we can actually do this? We know that it's an important part of our lives. We know it's we've all heard of the idea of having a quiet time and reading God's word, and it's more than just spending 15 minutes in the morning doing your daily bread or just reading through the Bible in a year and, you know, spending that half an hour and just getting through to the end of the book of 2 Chronicles, you know, and you're getting through it and you just can't wait to get to the end of it so you can check that off your list. It requires a bit of effort. And it requires a bit of time and a commitment on our part to spend time and meaningful time with God, meaningful quiet time. Reading God's word, doing the daily bread, I'm not saying those are bad things, but if you want to really develop, if you want to understand, you know, you ask the question, why am I not moving in my relationship with God? Why am I still stuck here when I should be here? Why am I still in the milk when I should be in the meat? I'm 40 years old now, you know, I should be here, or whatever it is. Well, the only way to do this is to have this meaningful time with God. And it's a commitment, you know, and it's something that's expected of us. But if you want to really grow in your walk, this is where we need to start. So there's a few steps here that I've kind of put together here from different thoughts. And you can agree with me or not, and we'll talk about them. But I think some of them are pretty practical and pretty obvious. So quiet time is obviously important, as we talked about. It's a time where we can You know, we want to draw away from everything else, get into a secluded place, usually in your own home, somewhere alone, quiet, where you can get away from all your distractions, a place where there's no TV, no telephone, no family member interactions, traffic noises, silence. Some of us have our phones on our Bibles on our phones. I would recommend not doing that because that's just too easy to get distracted. There's always notifications coming in. Get a Bible and get alone and unplug for a little while. That's what we need to do. We need to unplug from all of the distractions. We need to find the right time. The length of time isn't necessarily important, but we want to have a quality time. You know, it needs to be enough time where you can meditate and think about things. It's reading a passage of Scripture and asking God to reveal what He wants to show you, spending time considering the thoughts in it and the words in it, reading and praying as you read at the same time as you ask God to show you what He's teaching you. It has to be our best time, too. We want to be alert. You don't want to be giving God our leftovers. We want to be giving Him the first fruits. It's been often said that in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." And it's been recommended numerous times by numerous people that first thing in the morning is a good time to spend with God. Now, some of you may not be morning people, and that's fine, but what the point is that we need to make time. We need to be deliberate in making time to spend with God each day. Whatever time that is, make sure it's not, I wouldn't recommend maybe not right before bed, especially if someone that as soon as you sit down, you start closing your eyes. But make a time where you have some energy and put some focus into it. You know, maybe it starts off with 10 minutes a day. You're just thinking about some spending time with God. But just make sure you give some priority to this. Because if you don't, it's going to go away. If you don't try to find time and make it a priority. The devil will try to mess up our efforts to focus on God's word. So there's going to be temptations. It's going to be hard to get this established, this habit. He knows that it's benefiting us, so he's going to try everything to stop us from doing it. But keep at it. Be diligent. I got a little note here that I gathered. It says, we don't take the trip and then read the map, do we? Spend time alone with God to begin your day. That's when we want to start our lives, we want to start off, even if you don't have a lot of time, you know, I recommend spending some time in God's Word before you start your day. Next, we want to think about, we talked about the proper period. Next, we want to think about the proper preparation. Quiet time is fellowship with a holy God. We want to recognize that we're getting before a holy God. There are a few things we can do to be prepared for this. First, we need to be physically alert. Be well rested. Don't be staying up all night and then expect to be able to get up in the morning and have a quality time with God. Take care of yourself physically so that you can, you know, give something back to God and be alert. Find time when the cobwebs are out of your mind and you can think clearly and be mentally aware. Be focused and know that you're in the presence of God when you're having this time. It's an awesome privilege that we have to be alone with God and recognize that. We also want to be, I mean, it's not going to, if you're, you know, I'll just say it. We want to be morally pure and clean. I'm not going to say that you can't spend time with God if you're not morally pure and clean, but at the same time, don't expect to get a blessing from God and to get spiritual revelation from God if you're living in sin and if you've got active sin in your life. You need to confess that. And you need to make it right with God before you can really spend quality time with Him. Because our fellowship is broken when we have sin in our lives. So, you know, that has got to be something that you deal with on a daily basis and as it comes. But that is something that, we want to try to be living a life that is honoring to God. We want to find a proper place where you can focus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "Enter into your closet and pray." We've heard Wade LeBlanc talk about his prayer closet. It doesn't have to be quite so literal, but the idea is that we want to have a place of isolation where you can shut the door on the world and all the distractions and just spend time alone with God and get unplugged. Next, we want to have the proper provisions. In order to have an effective quiet time, we need the right tools. And some suggestions are a readable Bible, one that has room to write notes. And if you don't, get a notepad where you can write down things. If God is revealing things to you, write them down. Read a verse. Think about it. Write down the things that God's showing to you, and then so you can flip back to them and reflect on them and meditate on those things. instead of just reading it over, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to just read over a verse, think, that's nice, I should do that. Flip onto the next page and you don't even think about it again. This is a deliberate process of spending time considering the things that God is showing you in His Word. Finally, we want to talk about the proper procedure. And some recommended procedures are, like in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So we want to get still and we want to get quiet. We need to focus our minds. We need to calm down, relax, recognize His presence, as we said already. Just focus our thoughts on the Lord. Now, you kind of get the idea of meditation. You think of some guy sitting in a corner with his hands like this and humming, and, you know, we're not talking about that and emptying our minds of everything. We want to, you know, we're not emptying our minds, we're filling our minds with God. We want to prepare our minds to be filled with Him. We don't want to empty our minds because that leaves room for Satan to enter in. We want to, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Those are we want to be filling our minds with, these types of things, so that our quiet time can be a time of transformation through the renewing of our minds, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, not through the emptying of them. We want to be renewing them and filling them with Him. Like I said before, it's not just a casual reading of God's Word as we head out the door and just finish off that chapter and rush out the door, but it's a private conversation with the Lord. We need to be deliberate. We want to start by asking God to reveal, from His Holy Spirit, to reveal things to you through your Word. And then as we read, we listen for instructions and guidance while we're reading and thinking about it. And as something comes to you, ask God. You're conversing with God. God is speaking to you through His Word. Speak back to Him. Ask questions. Ask Him what He wants you to show to Him. It's a communication time. You're spending time with God. And again, it's not an idea of quantity. We want to spend quality time with God. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to read 30 verses. Don't get overwhelmed with this. Read a verse at a time and think about this verse and glean the things that God wants you to get from it. Focus on the things that He's wanting to show you. Ask the questions. Is there a command to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a new truth to carry with me? Ask those things as you're reading through these verses. Not every passage is going to be filled with all kinds of things that you're going to get right away, but as you develop this pattern, I think as you start to kind of dig in, things will start to reveal themselves to you through God's Holy Spirit. And record the things God's given to you. Take notes. You know, you're not writing a novel here, so don't be embarrassed about writing yourself some notes. Just take notes. It's for you. It's personal. These are things for you to take time to think about. And make sure, when you do take time to spend alone with God, make time to pray at the end. You know, after thank God for the things that He showed you from His Word, take time to let Him know what's going on in your life. Just, you know, be honest with God. God wants to have a communication with you just like any other relationship, like we talked about earlier, like a marriage or a father and child or your friendship. Communicate with God. Pray out loud if it helps so that you can focus. Whatever it is, be honest and natural with God. And then the things that you get from your quiet time, don't keep them to yourself. Share them with others. The breaking of bread is a great time for us to be able to share the things that we've learned from God's Word when we get together or get together with your friends. Share the things that we've learned. You know, we're not made to be keeping all of the things to ourselves. It's God's desire for us to share with each other the truths that we learn from Him. And then finally, we want to make sure that we're obeying what God tells us, putting into practice the application of the things that we're studying and meditating on. The idea is of two rails. Our spiritual life is like there's two rails. One is revelation, and the other is obedience. And if one stops, the other is going to go off the rails. It kind of, you know, you can't have one without the other. To have it a successful thing, is things are revealed to you, you've got to put them into practice. And be aware that Satan is going to try and trip you up. Don't think that you're going to be able to get away with this. If you commit to doing this. Satan is going to try and trip you up. He's going to try and discourage you, bring obstacles in your life to try to deter you from growing and developing in your walk with Him. Just use God's Word to strengthen you and to overcome those temptations the same way Jesus did, as we learned and talked about already. Just going to read this quote here. It says, "Remember, This is from Doug McIntosh in a book called God Up Close, How to Meditate on His Word. Remember, as you become involved in the process, that meditation isn't supposed to yield remarkable insights and dramatic changes every day. In many respects, its most important consequences happen so slowly that we don't see them at all for a while. You do the reflecting and let God's Spirit do the inner reworking in your heart. That's His specialty. Take time to be holy. That's the key in it all, right? Just allowing God to change you. But we have to do the work to spend time with Him. And don't be overwhelmed. Don't think that this is all going to change tomorrow. You're going to be the spiritual giant. One day at a time, spending time with Him. In conclusion, as we talked about this idea of escaping thought and escaping being alone, you know, can we spend our lives running from thought and still live an active and real Christian life? Is it possible for us to do that, to not consider the great mysteries of God's Word and who He is? I don't see how. How is it possible for us to live an active and great Christian life without considering and taking time to pause and be quiet with Him? After all, our Christian life is founded in meditation and our ability to sit alone in a room and spend time with the Lord, reading, praying, thinking, and examining our lives under the microscope of His Word. It starts with obedience to God, and we aren't likely to obey if we won't sit quietly and commune with the Lord, meditate, reflect, and submit, and then exchange our will for His. We can't do it. One doesn't go without the other. We have to take time. We're not going to be able to obey God's Word if we're not spending time in it, not spending time with Him, letting Him show Himself to us. As we read in Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the person, not man or woman, who meditates on the law of God, and then the one who does it day and night." Blessed is that person. That's it. It says it right in God's Word. Why wouldn't we want to do it? We want to take time to spend with Him. The mindless chatter, all the things that distract us, all those things that hinder us ourselves from God, we need to push those out. Just even for a short time of your day, just be deliberate. Make it a priority every day to push those things out and spend time with God. We need to draw apart and just spend those times alone with God, just like the Lord Jesus did. How can we not do it if the Lord Jesus did? How can we not make it a part of our lives? So here's the real test to see whether or not we're living a Christian life. Could you be living it without the Lord? If you were not in the Word and prayer, communing with God every day, could you still go on as you are? If you could, then you're perhaps living a decent life, a respectable life, or even a socially approved life, but you're not living the Christian life. The Christian life is one that simply cannot be lived without daily dependence on God, even if it means risking a little boredom. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for, again, this time that we have to consider You and to consider Your Word. Lord, we confess that so often in our lives we neglect this practice of spending time alone with You. We know, we've heard it time and time again, how important it is. We know that it's what we need in our lives to grow closer to You. And we look around the world around us and we wonder why it's in such chaos. We know, this world is in disrepair. But Father, we don't have any impact in this world if we're not spending time with You. If we're not being any different than the world. We're not growing closer to You. Help us, Father, as we go into this new year and forward. This is not a New Year's resolution, but just it's a commitment that we need to make to You to spend time with You every day, getting to know You, growing in our relationship with You, understanding who You are, Your plan for our lives. Help us, Father, to make it a real priority as we go into the coming year and the days ahead. Help us to encourage each other in these things, to be accountable to each other, and to be building each other up in our most holy faith. Father, we thank You for Your Word that You've given to us to instruct us in righteousness. Help us to make it the delight of our hearts. We just thank You so much for Your revelations You've given to us. We ask again, Lord, that You would just help us to make it a priority each and every day to spend with You, even a short time, just alone with You, and that You would, we promise that You will draw near to us if we draw near to You. Pray for safety as we travel home now in to our homes this evening and the roads. We just ask that you would just help us to honor you and glorify you in all of our ways. In your name we pray. Amen.